Welcome to Madrid en Inglés, Madrid in English, a tour, a colorful educational tour of our capital, Madrid, and of our province, La Comunidad de Madrid. Learn English with me, with Richard Vaughn, using Madrid as our base of operations. Yeah, let's go. Hello and good morning, everyone. How are you today? Welcome to a new edition of Madrid in English, Madrid en Inglés. It's a pleasure to be here on this Sunday morning. And I hope that the next hour that we are together from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock in the morning will be a productive hour for you and a productive hour for me. Yes, mutual benefit, beneficio mutuo. In English, mutuo se pronuncia mutu, chu, chufla, chu, mutual. So I hope that this hour will be mutually beneficial. In English, decimos beneficial, no beneficioso. Beneficial for you and for me, why not? I enjoy doing this. I have a good time. Me lo paso bien. Pasárselo bien is to have a good time, to have fun, to enjoy myself. Tres formas. During this hour, I am planning to have fun. I'm planning to have a good time. I'm planning to enjoy myself. Why? Because I always enjoy myself when I'm teaching on the radio or talking on the radio. I always have a good time when I'm talking on the radio. I always have fun when I'm talking on the radio. Because it gives me the opportunity to express myself, and it gives me the opportunity to transmit English to you in such a way that you find the language more attractive than usual. My job as a teacher, y soy profe de inglés, ¿eh? No otra cosa, casi no otra cosa. I'm an English teacher. I'm also a businessman, an entrepreneur, a manager. But my trade, escrito trade, my trade, mi oficio, es profesor. My trade is a teacher, and I enjoy teaching. And the job of a teacher is to produce learning in the student, or the students. To produce learning, a teacher's job is to see that the students learn. And if you want your students to learn quickly, or to assimilate the material effectively in a good period of time, a short period of time, you need to make the subject attractive. You need to make the subject attractive. And in my case, my job is to make English attractive. And how can I make English attractive? By being attractive myself, in the way I express myself, in the way I transmit my information, my ideas, my intentions, everything. And so you find English attractive because of me, not because the English language necessarily is attractive. Every language is equally attractive or unattractive. French is a beautiful language with incredible literature. Spanish is an incredible language with incredible literature. German, Italian, English, of course, Russian, Japanese, Chinese, Hindi, Arabic, all of the major, every major language or important language in the world is equally rich and attractive. And my job as an English teacher is to make the English language attractive to you. And the only way to do that is to be attractive myself in the way I speak to you. And so you enjoy listening to me. And as a result, you enjoy the English language. Or you start to like the English language. That's the important thing of a teacher. The most important characteristic of an outstanding teacher is to the one who can get the students to like the subject. And if the student likes the subject, then it's easy. The assimilation process will be fast and furious. Very effective. Si el profe mola, Lope de Vega mola. Si el profe mola, el álgebra mola. That's it. Everything. Algebra is cool. Cool is guay. Algebra is cool if the algebra teacher is cool. And Lope de Vega, Calderon, or Cervantes, or Quevedo, or Góngora, they're cool if the literature teacher is cool. Como molesta el nuevo profe de literatura. Ahora me gusta Cervantes. Yeah, it's not that Cervantes, you like Cervantes, you like the teacher. And the teacher makes Cervantes interesting. Okay, but welcome to a new edition of Madrid en Inglés, Madrid in English. And in my last segment, last week, I was talking about my life in Madrid during 1977. And 1977 was a very important year for me. Maybe the most important in my life. Maybe. Because I started my company in February 1977. My company, I started my company with one teacher, me. Now my company has 420 teachers. And I started with about 40 hours per week of teaching, and now, well, 160 hours per month, digamos. And now it's 40,000 hours per month. So my company is bigger now than at the beginning. And that started in 1977 with only one client, John Deere Iberica, John Deere, como dicen algunos, the number one company in the world in farm equipment, as you say in Spanish, maquinaria agrícola. And for the first 2 years, from 1977 to 1979, I focused exclusively on John Deere, whose factory and offices are located in Getafe. Although in the past 15 years, the sales branch, the sales area, sales and marketing and commercial activities are located in Parla. So the manufacturing is in Getafe along the Toledo Highway. And the sales and marketing offices are located in Parla. O como dicen algunos por ahí, Parla de Mallorca. Okay. And it's a very good company, very strong company, a very solid company. Really, really a very, very well-managed company for many, many years since the middle of the 19th century. 1855, 1860 was the founding of John Deere. Yes. Mr. Deere, his name was John Deere. Suena a ciervo, ¿no? Un deer es un ciervo, pero con un E al final, Deere, una E última. John Deere. And John Deere, the man, became important because he was the first person in history to develop the steel plow. El arado de acero. And so he developed the steel plow because in the area of Illinois and Iowa, the very rich agricultural land on either side of the Mississippi River, the soil is black. Suelo negro. Agricola. It's black, pegajosa, but very, very rich. And there was a problem with the traditional plows because the farmer, el agricultor, the farmer had to stop the plow, had to stop plowing every 10 meters or 15 meters to remove the sticky mud, el barro pegajoso, en la punta del arado. He had to, and so it was a problem. And John Deere, this man, developed a steel plow that was better for the sticky dirt. The sticky mud would slide off, deslizar fuera. It's to slide, escrito slide, to slide off the plow. And that was the beginning of what later became an empire, of course, el Imperio John Deere, of tractors, harvester combines, balers, plows, a lot of different farm equipment. And John Deere has been very, very important in the success of Spanish agriculture, among many other companies. But so, 1977 was an important year because I started my company. I started with John Deere, and I got married. I got married at the end of 1977, December 30th, and I started going out with my wife, Fernanda, Maria Fernanda, in February. So from the first date, la primera cita hasta la boda, from the first date, escrito date, from the first date to the wedding, 10.5 months. Yes, I don't like long engagements. Noviazgos largos, no. Long engagements, no. When you make a decision, carry it out. When you make a decision, execute, right? Yes, execution. Decision and then execution. Get married. And so we got married. And we took our honeymoon, luna de miel, our honeymoon, at the end of, from the 31st of December to the 6th of January, because I was very busy in John Deere. We took only 1 week, and we went to Madeira, the Portuguese island. But 1977, I repeat, was a very important year, and it was a very important year for Spain as well, because it was the first year of the transition. 1976 was a year of preparation for the transition. In 1976, Carlos Arias Navarro was the prime minister until July, and then the king appointed Adolfo Suarez as the prime minister, and he prepared, together with the king and other people, the referendum for political reform. And that referendum was voted successfully in December 1976. And that was the starting gun, pistoletazo de salida, gun es arma de fuego. It was a starting gun for the transition in 1977. In 1977, the Communist Party was legalized, which was very controversial in Spain. But it didn't provoke any serious problems. And ETA and Grapo were very busy in 1977. The inflation was 25% in 1977. But it was a successful year for me in John Deere, in Getafe. And it was a successful year for Spain in terms of progressing for the constitution, for the creation of a constitution. And in 1978, so starting in 1978 in Madrid, I was married. I was married. And I was living at that time, I had moved during 1977, before getting married, maybe 3 months, 2 or 3 months before getting married, I moved from the Melia Princesa, where I was renting an apartment on the 17th floor. At that time, Melia Princesa, or Melia Madrid, se decían entonces. They called it Melia Madrid then. Now it's called the Melia Princesa Hotel. Starting on the 17th floor, or 16th, starting on the 16th floor, it was not a hotel, it was a part hotel, so in the apartments. And so I rented an apartment on the 17th floor with a beautiful view of the Plaza de España. Well, I couldn't see the Plaza de España because of the Torre de Madrid. and another big building, the buildings around the Plaza de los Cubos. But I could see easily the Almudena and the Royal Palace and the Casa de Campo, and I could see all the way to, Brunete practically, from that 17th floor. It's a very beautiful view. I could see the Edificio España, I could see the Edificio de Telefónica and things. And that was in 1977. But I decided to move because I decided it was a bit too expensive, 30,000 pesetas a month. So I moved I found an apartment on a street that probably you don't know. It's called Calle de los Dos Amigos. Calle de los Dos Amigos. And that street is located exactly behind the Edificio España in the Plaza de España. You know, in the Plaza de España, the two tallest buildings are the Torre de Madrid and then the Edificio España. Just behind the Edificio España, perfectly, exactly behind it, in the center of the back part, you have a little street that goes up to San Bernardino, and that's called Calle de los Dos Amigos. And there was only one or two houses or buildings for residents on that street. And I rented a one-bedroom apartment on the top floor, on the fourth floor. And there I lived, first alone, on my own, by myself. I lived there for about 4 months, from September to Christmas, from September to December, 1977. And then, as you know, on December 30th, I got married. And then when we went to Madeira for our honeymoon, and then we returned to Madrid, and my wife lived with me in that small apartment in Calle de los Dos Amigos. and we remodeled, well, we didn't. We changed the wallpaper. Cambiamos, empapelamos, papel de pared. Because the wallpaper before was red. I think maybe there, in fact, I know that before I moved there, there were two girls who were working as girls of the night. And the wallpaper was red. And so when my wife moved in, we decided to change the wallpaper to a very light color, almost white. But in any case, so we were living, starting in 1978, we were living in Calle de los Dos Amigos. And we lived there up until the summertime, until the holidays, in 1978, when I took my wife to the United States for the first time. I'll tell an interesting story about that later in this program, or if I don't have time, next week. But it's a very interesting story, because we got married in Spain on December 30th, 1977. But we also got married a second time in Corpus Christi, Texas, in August 1978. Yes, 8 months later, we got married a second time. And that's not normal, but it's an interesting story of why. And so I will tell you in another segment today, or if I don't have time, I'll tell you in next Sunday. So you need to listen to this program next Sunday, maybe, and you need to write it down in your agenda. Escuchar programa, no olvidar escuchar programa next Sunday, el 26, I think, the 26th. In February, I think the first program of February, yes. And so It will be interesting. But I'm running out of time now for this first segment. I'll take a break in just a few seconds. But I want to talk about 1978 in Madrid. And in Spain as well, because 1978 was a very, very important year in Spain. It was the year in which the Spanish Constitution was debated, negotiated, and approved. But I'll be back with more in just a few minutes.
El mejor restaurante que puedas imaginar es tu casa. Y para que así sea, el Asador Villaranda es tu fiel aliado. Asados en horno de leña al estilo segoviano. Llévatelo a casa y guarda nuestro secreto.
Porque los toros son cultura, son arte, son espectáculo.
Los domingos de 11 a 12 de la noche, El Toril con Julio Martínez, en Onda Madrid.
Nuevo concesionario Fiat en la zona norte de Madrid. Estamos en Tres Cantos, Avenida de los Artesanos 22. Les esperamos. Grupo Álvaro Villacañas.
101.3 y 106 FM. Onda Madrid.
Hello and welcome back. All right, we're back for another segment of today's Sunday edition of Madrid en Inglés. My name is Richard Vaughan. I'm an English teacher, and I'm here to speak to you in English, not necessarily to teach you English, but indirectly, I am teaching simply by talking about Madrid and about my life in Madrid. But as I said just before the break, 1978 was a very important year in Spain and in Madrid. It was what we sometimes call in English a pivotal year, un año de pivotar. It's a pivotal year in Spanish history because the country, Spain, transitioned successfully in this year it was the most important year perhaps in the transition from the Franco era or the Franco regime to a democracy. Yes. The most important event that happened was during 1978 was the adoption of the Spanish Constitution. Yes. It was approved in December 1978, and there was a national referendum to approve the democratic constitution. It's interesting, the previous December, there was a referendum also, but it was a referendum in 1970. No, miento, just a second. There was in 2 years before, in 1976, December, there was a referendum for political reform. 2 years later, on December 6th, 1978, there was a national referendum to approve the new constitution. And let's say this constitution officially ended the Franco regime and established Spain as a constitutional monarchy and a parliamentary democracy. Madrid was chosen as the capital and the political center. And the debates took place in Las Cortes Generales, the parliament. No, hoy en día se dice el Congreso de los Diputados. At that time, se dice Las Cortes. And then the constitution was drafted and approved before the referendum and then the referendum. A certain important moments of the transition, of course, was at that time, Adolfo Suárez was the prime minister, and he was, let's say, overseeing and leading the transition. And he did a good job in the first years in negotiating between the different political factions. I think that was critical for stability during that period. That period, as I've said several times, was characterized by high inflation, constant labor conflict, political maneuvering and And of course, ETA and Grapo were very busy. And so with the terrorism. Yes, there was a lot of tension. Nevertheless, as I've said also, people were more optimistic then than they are today. Despite the high inflation, despite the terrorism, despite the political tensions, it's because it was a new era, a new period in Spanish history, and people were, the attitude, actitud of the people was very positive in the direction of creating a viable democracy. I mean, Spain had a lot of economic difficulties. As I said, high inflation, unemployment, strikes and protests were very common. The workers were demanding better wages and working conditions, etc. Yes. And Madrid was the focal point. El punto focal, se dice, the focal point of the political activity in the Palacio de las Cortes. They had debates and were shaping the documents. There was a type of cultural renaissance as well. It was interesting. Madrid, if you remember, in 1978 and 1979, 80, 81, there was a movement, a cultural movement in Madrid that would later, a few years later, become known as La Movida Madrileña. It fully emerged. It started, it really became big in the 1980s. But the seeds, las semillas, the seeds were planted during the late 1970s. Yes. But there were terror attacks, quite a few. ETA was very busy. And Grapo was also quite busy. There were a lot of demonstrations and gatherings. Yes. As they campaigned for the constitutional referendum. Yes. But it seemed that the people in Madrid were active and willing to participate in political activities. There was press freedom. Now, El País was a very new newspaper. And the freedom of the press played a critical role in informing the public about the new constitution. The most important newspapers at that time were El País, ABC, Ya. You remember Ya? And, me falta uno. No, I think those were the three most important. Also, we had El Alcázar for the right, the far right, and Mundo Obrero for the left. These were also newspapers you could find. Also, you remember that the newspapers didn't publish on Mondays. And there was a newspaper. The only newspaper available on Mondays were La Hoja del Lunes, I think it was called, in 1978. So that was, 1978 was an important year politically for Spain. It was an important year for me because it was my second year in John Deere. Very successful, and I had 13 teachers working for me in John Deere. And I was managing them in John Deere, usually, and sometimes from my apartment on Calle de los Dos Amigos in Madrid, just behind the Edificio España, which desemboca it came into the back of the building, and on the other end, San Bernardino, which was a street that goes down to the Palacio Lidia. All right. And so it was an interesting place to live. But the Constitution was the most important event in Madrid and in Spain during that period. There were seven politicians who were involved in debating or drafting, let's say. To draft means crear el borrador of the initial text. And these seven men represented different political ideologies. Of course, we had Manuel Fraga. You remember Manuel Fraga Iribarne. He was right-wing, and at that time he was the president of Alianza Popular, which was perhaps the most conservative party in the group of seven parliamentarians from the UCD, UCD, Unión del Centro Democrático, which was a kind of an artificial party created by Adolfo Suárez to bring in people from social democrats to Christian democrats and liberals. It was a big party that was necessary probably for the first years of the transition to bring people together despite their different opinions. And that was called the Union of the Democratic Center. And there were three, I believe. Yeah, three. Three parliamentarians from the UCD were involved in drawing up, elaborando la Constitución, preparing or drawing up the Constitution. One was Gabriel Cisneros, who was a centrist politician. José Pedro Pérez Llorca, who was also centrista or centrist. And Miguel Herrero y Rodríguez de Miñón, who was a legal expert. He was not centrist. I think he was a bit to the right, closer to Fraga, but I don't remember now. And then the other three were Gregorio Pérez Barba, who was a member of the SOY, of the Socialist Party. He later was one of the founders and first president of the Carlos III University in Getafe, Gregorio Pérez Barba. Another one was Jordi Solé Tura, who was a member of the Communist Party. He had to make sure that the leftist ideals were represented in the Constitution. And finally, Miguel Roca y Junget, who was Catalan, of course, very famous politician and very famous lawyer of, I think he's still alive. I'm not sure if he's still alive. He was from the Convergencia y Unión, bueno, Convergencia Democrática, which was Jordi Pujol's party, which usually at that time in the elections was Convergencia y Unión, because Unión was another party, a little bit more conservative than Convergencia Democrática. And I can't remember the names of the politicians now, but they represented the Catalan or Catalonian interests in these things. Other influential politicians at that time, of course, were Santiago Carrillo, the head of the Communist Party, Felipe González, the head of the Socialist Party, Leopoldo Calvo Sotelo, who was a close ally, cercano aliado, close ally of Adolfo Suárez. And of course, the king, and maybe Torquato Fernández Miranda. Creo que se dice así. If I remember right, I'm speaking from my memory. And it was interesting because it was a successful constitution. There was broad consensus. Amplio consenso. Fijaos como lo digo. Broad. Broad significa ancho y amplio. Broad, Broadway. Vía ancha, gran vía. Broad consensus. The constitution was a product of negotiation and compromise. It reflected the diverse political views in Spain, from monarchists to communists. It's a good constitution. Yes. It's a good constitution. It's interesting that this constitution has not had any amendments, which is a problem because you need to make amendments. The United States Constitution is 250 years old. Or 240 years old, and it has, I think, about 28 amendments. I can't remember. And so it included the concept of regional autonomy and, of course, the commitment to democracy. Yes. Very successful. So 1978 was an important year in many, for me personally, and it was the first year that I was married. I lived for the with my wife on Calle de los Dos Amigos, we continued to rent that apartment until August 1978. We went to the United States. When while we were living there, there was an explosion in the Plaza Mayor, and it was Cubillo from the Canary Island separatists. I don't know if I can. Explosion. That was in the Plaza Mayor. Cubillo. I think his name was Cubillas or Cubillo. I think it was Cubillas, but I can't remember. And I was living there, and I heard that explosion when I was living there. But I'm not going to find information on it. All right. But in any case, that was in 1978, in the first months of 1978, living just behind the Edificio España, Calle de los Dos Amigos, and it was an interesting area, a lot of good restaurants. And I'll come back after this short break for more, so stay close.
¿Tienes tú o un familiar tuyo problemas con el alcohol, las drogas, el juego u otro comportamiento adictivo? En la Fundación Recal podemos ayudaros. Primera cita y evaluación gratuita. Llama al 91-392-8251 y nuestro equipo médico y terapéutico te asesorará. También puedes consultar en nuestra página web fundacionrecal.org. Solo no puedes, pero juntos podemos.
Revive la emoción de la competición en Onda Madrid, donde cada domingo se apagan las luces del semáforo para trasladarnos todo lo sucedido en el Mundial de Fórmula 1.
MotoGP, rallies y Mundo Motoesport. La mejor fórmula para estar al tanto de todas las carreras, la previa, entrevistas y las curiosidades.
Una cita ineludible para amantes de la competición, donde periodistas, ingenieros y pilotos analizan en un mismo box toda la actualidad.
Te esperamos cada domingo de 12 a 2 de la madrugada con Juanma Fernández y todo su equipo.
Para que estés siempre en la pole position de la información del motor de competición.
Aquí, en Onda Madrid.
Restaurante J, cocina vasca, un referente de buena mesa en Chamberí, con la sencillez y honestidad de la cocina de siempre, donde comer bien, sin tontunas, con familia, amigos, tu cuadrilla, verduras, guisos de temporada y pescados salvajes al centro de la mesa. Restaurante J, una cocina para siempre, a 50 metros de la Glorieta de Bilbao. Reserva y disfruta.
101.3 y 106 FM, Onda Madrid.
Hello, welcome back. Okay, we have 15 more minutes, so let's not waste any more time. So, in the first half, the first semester, or the first 7 months of 1978, my wife and I were living in an apartment, a one-bedroom apartment, in Calle de los Dos Amigos, behind the Edificio España. And at that time, it's interesting, we went out to have dinner every night. Because during the day, we didn't have a very healthy lunch, so we decided to have interesting dinners. And we went to a different nationality of restaurant every evening. We changed one night to a Spanish restaurant, the following evening to a Chinese restaurant, the following evening to an Italian restaurant, and the fourth evening an Argentine restaurant, the fifth evening an American restaurant, the sixth, I'm forgetting some of the nationalities. Let's see, just a second. I have a Spanish restaurant, Chinese, Italian, American, Spanish, let's see, Spanish, I can't remember, but there were seven different nationalities. And we went to a very good Chinese restaurant near the Plaza de Santo Domingo. At that time, there was parking, if you remember. And we went to an Argentine restaurant called El Locro, which was open. And it was located first. It was located on, it was located near Calle Ballesta in that area, which is a questionable area of Madrid. But nevertheless, it was located there. And then they moved to a street next to the Plaza Las Descalzas in Madrid. It was an Argentine restaurant. And it was a family. And the mother was in the kitchen. And it was the best Argentine restaurant I have eaten in Madrid. I have been to many Argentine restaurants, and I continue to frequent Argentine restaurants because I like meat. I'm a meat eater and a carnivore, and this was the best. It is true that when I was younger, I was more impressionable, of course. Younger people are more impressionable, and so maybe it wasn't as good as I think, but I remember it as very good. And they had a cut of meat called matambre tiernizado that was delicious, absolutely delicious. And so so we went every night to a different restaurant during those first 7 months of 1978. A German restaurant, Edelweiss, which is just behind Las Cortes, behind the Congreso de los Diputados. We went there. That we went to a German restaurant, yes. And I'm forgetting one more. We didn't go to a French restaurant. And we didn't go to a Greek restaurant. I can't remember the seventh restaurant, but we went to seven different nationalities. Oh, I'm going to write it down. Just a second. Yeah, ya es cuestión de amor propio. I'm going to try to remember. I'm going to write them down. Just a second. Okay, we went to Spanish restaurant. Spanish, Italian, German, Chinese, Argentine, or Argentinian. There are two ways of saying it. Argentine, that's five. I can't remember anymore. Let's see, Chinese, Italian, German, Spanish, American. American restaurant, one, two, three. I'm missing one. I can't remember what the seventh was. I don't remember. Maybe if I remember the areas of Madrid where we went. Ah, of course. The most important. Mexican. Yes. There were two Mexican restaurants within 200 meters of our apartment on Calle de los Dos Amigos. One was called Mexico Lindo. One was called El Charro. You know, the word charro in Mexico means un vaquero mexicano. Okay, El Charro. And it was on Calle San Leonardo. And then A Todo Mexico, which was located on San Bernardino Street. And once a week. That was good Mexican. The owners were three men from San Antonio, Texas. And they moved to Spain in 1957. Two brothers and a cousin. Dos hermanos y un primo. Two brothers and a cousin. When they were young, they moved from San Antonio, Texas to Madrid. And they opened a tiny Mexican restaurant, very, very small, in San Leonardo Street, called El Charro. And they offered Texas-style Mexican food. Tex-Mex. It was delicious. Absolutely, really, really good. And they had the typical things is what you call tamales, enchiladas, frijoles refritos, y arroz mexicano. Tacos, of course, as well. But it was delicious. And then they opened a third restaurant in Plaza Perú, por ahí, called Mexico Lindo. And so they successfully operated these three restaurants for about 30 years. And my wife and I, and later my family, we went to that Mexican restaurant, El Charro or Mexicolin, or A Todo México, almost, I would say twice a month. It was so good. But as so often happens, the second generation didn't have the same work ethic as the founding generation. Ética del trabajo. And they had money because these were successful restaurants. And so the second generation, probably born in Madrid, they grew up with their parents working. Their fathers were working and making money. And they didn't have the same work ethic, and I don't think they wanted to work so hard. The restaurant business is very hard. It's a lot of work, and you need to be 100% devoted and on top of the business. And so they slowly closed. First they closed El Charro in maybe the year 2000, 25 years ago. And then they closed A Todo México on San Bernardino maybe 15 years ago or 20 years ago. And then finally they closed, no, not Plaza Perú, in that area. They closed México Lindo. And now there are a lot of Mexican restaurants in Madrid. But I like them, but I don't like them as much because they are true Mexican, the food you find in the center of Mexico. My type of Mexican food is in northern Mexico and in Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California. Yes, that's delicious Mexican food for me. But in any case, so my wife and I, during those first 7 months of 1978, went to a different restaurant every evening. My God, we were young. I was 26, and she was 23 or 24. She turned 24 on April 1st. And so during those 7 months, my wife turned 24 years old. So when we got married, I was 26, and she was 23. Yo 26 recién cumplidos. So really, I was 25 almost. But in any case, now people get married much later, of course. I don't agree with that. I prefer that people get married when they're young. Yes. But in any case, I'm from a different generation. Agua pasada no mueve molino y yo no muevo molino. Yeah, my opinions are not important anymore. And in any case, so during those 7 months living in Calle de los Dos Amigos, well, we had a good time going out. But you see, at that age, it's easy to have dinner out and go to work early the following morning. At my age now, no. Now I don't go out for dinner. I went out for dinner last week for the first time in 7 or 8 months because people from my other radio show invited me. And they invite me every year. Once a year, they invite me to have dinner. But usually I don't have dinner out now. But getting back to 1978, my wife and I decided to take my wife to the United States on holiday during August 1978 to visit Texas and Oklahoma, because I'm from both states. I lived in Texas for 12 years, no, 11 years, and I lived in Oklahoma for, no, I lived in Texas for 12 years, and I lived in Oklahoma for 9, well, 11 and 10, I think. So, but the most formative years of my life were in Oklahoma, between the age of 9 and 18. So I wanted to take my wife, Fernanda, to visit Tulsa, Oklahoma. I still had a lot of friends there. And to visit Dallas, Austin, Texas, the University of Texas. And to visit San Antonio, where my aunt and uncle were living, and of course to visit Corpus Christi, Texas, on the Texas coast, the Gulf Coast, the Gulf of Mexico, where my parents were living at that time. Yes, that was the final year, I believe, that my parents were living in Corpus Christi. I like that city. It's my favorite city in the United States, Corpus Christi, Texas. And it has about 300,000 people. Probably a little bit like Alicante a bit. And it's a fantastic place. But and so we went. And we decided to validate our Spanish marriage. So when we were staying with my parents, when we were staying with my parents in Corpus Christi, we decided to go to the county courthouse. El juzgado del condado, the courthouse, sala de juicio, sala de tribunal. And that's the administrative center for the county, el condado de Nueces. It's interesting that Corpus Christi, Texas, an important port, is el sexto puerto más importante de Estados Unidos. It is located in a county that's called Nueces. Nueces, como un nuez, las nueces. Nueces County. So we went to the courthouse to validate our marriage. And when we walked in, we walked up to one of the windows, las ventanillas, and we asked, we would like to validate our marriage. And the lady said, well, in that case, I need to see your Spanish marriage license. And I explained to her, well, in Spain, we don't have a marriage license. We have what is called a family book, libro de familia. And she said, oh, well, do you have it? And I showed it to her. And she looked at it and said, oh, it's interesting. It looks like a passport. Yes. And then she looked through it, and on the back, the last two pages is a lot of fine print, letra pequeña, dos páginas enteras. And she said, you will need to translate this into English. And I said, my God, that's a lot of work. Is there any alternative? And she said, yes, you can get married again. You can get married here. I said, well, how? Door number 13. Or no, number 14. I said, you can go to door number 14. And there you can get married. Right now? She said, well, if the justice of the peace is free, si está libre el juez de la paz, or juez de paz, you can get married right now. But I'll finish this story next week, which means you have to listen. It's an interesting story. I'll finish the story of how my wife and I got married a second time in Corpus Christi, Texas. But it's been a pleasure, and I'll be back next week. Take care.